Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to answer a listener's question. How do you keep your performance fresh time after time? I'll explain. I received a nice email from Maya asking me about this idea of how you keep something fresh, take after take, night after night. How do you do that when you have the same dialogue, you know you're going to say it, everything's the same. I thought that I had actually addressed that in one of my podcasts. I went through the 105 podcasts that I've done, looking at the titles and trying to remember. And then I did find a segment in one of the podcasts where I addressed this. But I've actually been asked this a number of times. And so I thought it'd be better to just devote more time to this subject, since it seems to come up and concern a lot of actors. I also think that it addresses an aspect of the real-life actor approach and why I think it's more helpful. And also, I'm going to touch on the idea of the best way to memorize, because I think all of these things kind of come together in this particular podcast and in addressing this particular question. And so, first up, the way most people memorize. I think the basic philosophy is, let me get my lines down, and then when I get my lines down and, I can repeat them and I know them, then, I can really work the magic with them. So right off the bat, let me just try and get these lines down by hook or crook. You just think, well, I'll just learn them by rote. What does it matter? Let me get the lines down. And then once I have them, once I've gotten past the ickiness of learning them and I have them, then, I can really do what's necessary and, really give it the business. Well, right off the bat, I think you make a mistake when you learn your lines by rote. I think, first of all, the easiest way to learn your lines is to really look at the logic and why you're saying what you're saying. Not just what you're saying, but why you're saying what you're saying. In real life, if I stopped you after you had any utterance, anything that you said in any conversation, and I said to you, hey, why did you just say that? You would be able to elaborate, especially if I continued to ask you as to why. You would be able to tell me six different reasons why you're saying what you're saying. Why, what in particular, what you mean by saying it, what it is about the other person that prompted you to say that, why specifically you're saying that and not this, what you mean by that, what, you would just be able to, like a real human being, just be able to elaborate on it. We say things for very specific reasons when we retort, when we reply in real life. And I'm very well aware of what those things are. Things that, don't necessarily come out in my retort, but that if I were being candid with someone who asked me the question, and said, well, yes, but why did you structure the sentence that way? Why did you say that before you said that? I don't think it's unreasonable to say that most people would be able to very readily tell you the answers to these things. Actors don't know those answers enough when I ask them questions. And when they do answer that question, much of the time it's in some sort of actor speak talk. That abbreviated way of actor speaking where they say, I said the line because it's to hate, to envy, to gather, and to grasp, or they'll say some nonsense shorthand that I just don't ever understand because humans never speak this way. This whole actor speak, talk, technical, blah, blah, is just, it really has to go. Maybe 2019 will be the year. No, what I want is just very practical reasoning, practical logic, whatever your logic is, whatever your reasoning is for saying what you say, you should be able to offer up a similar amount of clarity when asked those questions about the lines that you have. So what I'm always telling actors to do is as you're memorizing these lines, as you're going along and you're you're saying these lines out, that you are also maybe at the same time riffing with your friend, if you're lucky enough to run lines with someone that's helping you memorize your lines, that you're able to then riff and say, and I'm saying this because of that, and I'm saying that because of what you just said, and I need it to be clear, blah, blah, blah. As you would be able to readily do in life, you would do that, you see. When you are able to come up with just rolling logic as to why you're saying the things you're saying in reply to what, for what reason, when you're able to just kind of roll along and do that, you'll find a number of things occur. One, the grasp you have of your lines is far greater. Because now you haven't told yourself that it's okay to sit there with a little index card and learn by rote, just go down, blah, 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 you know, just kind of saying these lines and trying to get it to where you can then just do it. No, you've actually woven, like, on-the-spot logic to why you're saying the things you're saying. And when you do that, I find that actors, I know that it works for me, it's very hard then for me to get lost, because I really, everything is just kind of woven with this logical understanding of why everything is either going the way it's going or unfolding the way it is. I'm able to understand it in a far more comprehensive way. And so those lines that I say, you see, are really just a result of all of this information that I have, all of this knowledge that I have about the actual workings, the logical workings of the scene and why this conversation is being had, and so on and so forth. I'm able to riff at a moment's notice with someone to tell them why. Again, let me tell you this, no matter how many times I stress this in class, some actor will start barking at like it's some kind of acting exercise. And they'll say things that are either, you know, things that a person would never say. Like, for instance, they'll say, well, I am incredibly envious of this fellow, and I want to have his position in life, you see. And I think, okay, you know, that even could be true, but I've never heard anyone say that out loud. We don't say stuff like that when people ask us questions about why we're dressing this guy down. We don't say, because I'm incredibly envious, and I want to take this man's position in life, don't you see? No. I want you to think as if you're speaking like you do in your everyday life to your everyday friends, to everyday situations that you've been in, how you speak in that everyday way. Do that. Don't create a new way of speaking. Just use that way. Be as honest as you are for the same basic reasons you are in life. Do that. Follow that. So as you memorize your lines, you're always going back and forth. Okay, you say that, and that makes me say this. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, da, 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 and I'm specifically using these words because, da, 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 and you just have a really great understanding for it. Now, it's important for me to talk about this at the top of this particular podcast because I'm addressing the question, how do you keep it fresh? Well, first of all, it has to start with the way that you actually own your lines. And if you own them in this more kind of organic fashion, like you really, really get it. You know, you're not, you're caught up in the words and the specificity of the line in as much as that you have decided it probably specifically answers and addresses the things you want it to, for very logical reasons that you're able to tell me about and elaborate on if I ask you to. Because you know your lines that way, you see, a number of things. One, you're going to have a far less chance of just getting lost and not knowing where you are, or hearing a line and not being able to, once again, associate that logic that you've given that line, so that you understand the logic of your response, and then it logically starts to come out, and bang, you say the line as you've learned it. You know what you're saying again. You know where you're at. This allows the actor to have a much more organic ownership of the scene, which to me is very, very important. And so now, how is it we keep it fresh? Well, you know, in real life, this is never, ever an issue. It's not even anything we ever address. When does it come up in life? It comes up in life when, you know, some crazy thing just happened to you and you're going to tell the story over and over and over again. It's going to come up when you're at a reunion and everyone wants to know the story of how you met your wife or your husband or, you know, whatever. It's going to come up every time you go to tell the great story about how you booked a big job and then when you met Chris Hemsworth, you know, exactly what happened and the big joke that you had. You're going to tell that story over and over and over again. And assuming that you're not a liar who pads stories or makes stuff up, it's basically going to be the same story. But isn't it funny that you would never, ever, ever say to yourself, how will I keep this fresh? Oh my God, I got to tell my crazy Chris Hemsworth story again. Ah, how will I keep it fresh? Man, that idea didn't even come into your head, right? I just want you to think about that for a little bit. I want you to think about how many times you've told same stories over and over and over again. You've told same jokes. You have certain jokes you tell over and over again. You have whatever. There have been situations where you've certainly told something a number of times, right? I just want to point out that keeping it fresh has never come into your head once, ever. That's not what you think about. You might think about other things, but you don't in life when you're going to repeat a situation or a story think, oh, how on God's earth am I going to keep this fresh? What will I do? No, you don't. Now let's think about why. You see, this is how I've based everything on the real life actor. I just take these moments that I know to be true in life, and then I kind of reverse engineer them. I think, okay, well, in real life then, if that is never a consideration, why isn't it a consideration? Why do I never think? I may think other things. I may hope that, you know, people will laugh like they did at the last party at this joke, or I may think I hope, you know, I hope the story is as impressive as I think it is or is as interesting as I think it is. I hope, I guess. But it's never about fresh. So why isn't it about fresh? I don't actively try and change the story's lines. I don't actively try and change the way that I did the story. I don't actively try and act it out differently to just kind of maybe somehow instinctively, you know, that's how I keep it fresh. No, I don't do any of those things. I know that I don't. I think the only thing that I really do differently in this regard is that in real life, it is simply something that never concerns me. And it doesn't concern me because other things instinctively are more important to me. So they're made more important to me. I don't think about, oh, how will I keep it fresh? I just think about what I'm sharing in the story or what the point of my story is or in my reliving of it, you know, actually allowing those moments to occur the way they do in life, that authentic, honest, for all the right reasons ways. And so because I always allow myself that journey each time I tell the story, I'm never worried or preoccupied with keeping it fresh. It's just something that's not even on the menu. It's not even a consideration. Because you see, I've made more important the points I'm making, the moral to my story, making sure that the person feels it in the first person, like how I felt it, make sure I take my listener exactly through the steps so that, you know, then I heard the creak and then I stopped and I looked and I thought, I have a responsibility. It's very different, you see. The responsibility in life is different. It's never anything as shallow as, I hope I can keep this fresh. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? All that is an actor's concern. It's not a human being's concern. Not in a real life situation. I mean, if you're being honest, think about it. Come on, really think about it. You don't think that. You might have other trepidation. You might have other worries. Should I tell this story? You know, will these people get it? You know, you might have other trepidation, but it's never how will I keep it fresh? And we don't not preoccupy ourselves with that thought by forcing ourselves to think of other things. It's just an elective we choose not to elect. It's just a thing we don't do. Okay, well, I can't just tell you, hey, don't do that, because in real life, the truth is that is filled up with other things that we're doing, which are some of the things I described, which is that kind of innate, intuitive thing we do when we're telling a story, when we take the responsibility in hopefully being at least a decent storyteller, of taking our listener, our viewer, down the appropriate path, the way we want them to go, how I want you to see it. It's that simple obligation that I feel I kind of have now that I've gotten your attention to tell you my story, to take you along the route that I want to take you along, for you to get it the way I want it to be got, for me to make sure you get the moral of the story or see where I'm coming from or understand what happened or see the irony or whatever that is. That responsibility right there of wanting to do that, which is just natural with anyone who's communicating in the world, you see, by simply making that our obligation, as we do kind of innately in life, that there takes care of that whole idea of how will I make it fresh? And so you see, the actor who tends to learn lines by rote and has basically just given them these inflections, so they're kind of like a spoken song where they go up and then they do that and they do this and then they do that. Now, what's happening here, you see, is they've memorized it far differently than what I would suggest. They've kind of gotten it to where they're hoping they can parrot human behavior, and they can look like they're listening and can furrow their brows, and then they can say their lines the way they practiced in their dressing room to get it just right. Now, you see, they have to do that same one 6 times, 8 times. We got different setups, 3 different setups in this scene. Maybe now I've got to do this thing in front of these people 15 times, 18 times, 22 times. I've got to do this same scene, you see. Yeah, I can see how that would become a real task, because now how will I keep it fresh? Because, see, what you're really hearing and what you're concerned with are your inflections and the meter of your line and how you're saying it and whether or not it's kind of up to snuff for what you had practiced. You see, you've approached your work in a completely different way. You've come at it in a way where you've memorized the lines with an intonation that you believe, upon listening to it over and over again, that it sounds like a human, it sounds like you care, it has all the right sounds. And you don't mean to do it. You're not sitting there going, oh, it has all the right sounds, I'm ready. No, you feel honest. You think like, yeah, I'm looking right at you, and I'm saying the line, and then at this point, I hit the top of the desk with my fist, and I look out the window for a second, and all this seems to be really right. But what's happened is, you see, you've taken your responsibility of actually communicating something. What you have shifted it just slightly to the right, and what it now has become is an obligation for you to get your acting right, for you to make sure this thing works right, for you to make sure that it sounds right and it looks right. And so now you're going to be more aware of it sounding the same each time, you see, because that's actually kind of you've made that kind of your benchmark. That's what you're supposed to do. And then each time you do it, you're going to be comparing it to the last. And you see right here, you're indulging in an exercise that human beings never do. Even if we go back to the example I gave of telling some story or some situation over and over again, as you do it, you're never comparing it to the last time you did it, which could have been 10 minutes before. It could have been yesterday. You don't sit there and go, oh, yeah, no, it sounds different. Usually I do it like this. No, it's never your concern. How do we keep it the same? Well, you know, if you've learned your lines right, you know them expertly, as I've suggested that you should. You certainly understand what you're speaking about. You understand what the whole scene's about. You're the same person saying the same lines in the same situation with the same blocking. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to certainly be on the appropriate playing field of what we're looking for. And so without meaning to, chances are it's going to be plenty close enough to the last one because you're pursuing all the same ideas and intentions and desires just like you would in real life. You're having that same argument about the same thing and you're hoping for the same outcome. And if you say the exact same lines, you know what? I think without ever even trying, it's always going to be close enough. So if with each take, you approach the scene the exact same way, the exact same ideas, but never worry about saying it the exact same intonation. Trust it'll come out and it'll change because the other actor will change slightly and you'll see something differently and then it'll come out slightly differently, but it's going to always be close enough to edit. As long as you're on the playing field of what they're doing. In other words, you know, last time you were bawling and crying your eyes out and this time you're laughing. I mean, obviously these scenes aren't going to cut together. But as long as they're in the ballpark, any decent editor can put the scene together. Your concern doesn't have to be doing a tracing paper copy of your performance each time, which some actors tend to think that's what you're kind of supposed to do. You know, once we've decided on it, it's got to be tracing paper. No, it does not. No, it does not. Just on the same playing field, same scene, same people, same basic idea of its, you know, intensity or what it's about. We keep it basically the same. It'll always cut together. And so now you see what you have is the latitude to know that if it changes slightly, it's fine. In fact, for me, it's better. I know when I'm working as an actor, I'm always allowing a little bit of flux in each of them. If something strikes me slightly differently, I do it slightly differently. If somebody changes their thing, my thing hopefully changes. And, you know, I've put stuff in the midst of shooting. I made the character more drunk, you know, was the idea. And then I didn't hear anything. And as we continued on, then I made him less drunk. And then I hear, you know, over the wall from the director, no, Jeff, go back to, I like him more drunk. And then on the next take, I'm still kind of playing with it. I'm allowing myself just a little bit of flex in there to see because the ideal situation is that with all of the takes, whether the camera's on you or not, you are still kind of rehearsing. And again, same basic playing field. You don't go back to, you know, you don't go back to the drawing board with each take. No, it's that you're allowing yourself just that little bit of slide this way, that way. You're allowing that little bit of thing. You see, what's happening is that right there is keeping your performance alive every time because you've not set it in stone. No, you are allowing yourself that kind of real life, kind of right now in the moment happening. I will say all the lines because I understand what I'm talking about. I'm not sitting here repeating them, hoping that I'll get the intonation better this time. No, I am actually here speaking and I'm trusting this mechanism that's been running my whole life to, you know, say the lines the way that I am intending in my head as these moments are passing. Same situation, same line, same characters, same space. You know what? It's going to be same enough. But if you want to keep your performance fresh, you can never think about its form. You're constantly thinking about the function in the scene, what you're doing, what's going on, and just addressing it. Honestly, each time. Don't worry about the outcome. Just honestly address each situation, each retort like the first time. Not with the music of how you've practiced your line, but what you know you're saying. They perfectly speak to what you're feeling because you see, I've elaborated on my lines. I understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. That knowledge right there will make sure that each time I say the line, it'll come out in an authentic way. This is how you keep it fresh. Night after night in a play, take after take on set, that's how you do it. It's the way you memorize your lines and own them. And then it's the fact that you never, ever concern yourself with the sound, the outcome, how each take is matching up. You don't do any of that stuff. That's what actors do. You want to be an authentic human being. Avoid that stuff. Each time, as if you're just having to repeat yourself, each time you go in and re-explain it, retell it, redo it, re-argue it, but you do it for all the reasons a human would, and never concern yourself with the stuff that only actors think about. Just don't do it, and do the other. All right. That's my answer, Maya. I hope it helps. All right, everyone, keep in mind, in the beginning of February, I will be visiting both Vancouver and then in the middle of February, Toronto. So if you would like to jump in and do some training with me, I will be in those places then. You can send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.